It's very heartwarming to get together as brethren, to fellowship like this across states in the United States, Canada. It's evidence that scripture has given to us that the word of God will not be filtered, will not be constrained, and will not be limited. So, as always, tonight, I just would like us to start with worship. I'm going to feed you with this YouTube thing. There's a song that I like to play. It sets up the mood of hope and of grace for us as believers as we share about Jesus Christ as Savior tonight. Let me see if I can do this without. Yeah, and for those of you who are middle class, you see that the Maryland governor is planning something huge for you. Well, hopefully. Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear this?
Not
Brackley, can
yet.
you hear?
Not yet. We can see it, but we can't.
Okay, let me share it with sound. Sorry.
Storm shell
Yes.
upon
What's up now?
It's gone again.
Yeah. Let's share the sound.
The sweet
I hear it, sir.
rain,
Yes.
his eyes shall enhance waiting, and we and those who read.
Oh, we shall behold him, brethren. At times, we've been going on this race for so long, and we at times lose or forget the essence and the price and the glory and the blessing. But one day we'll behold Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord. Our hearts are too small to conceive of the plan that you have for us. But you allow us by the Holy Spirit to catch a glimpse of your glory occasionally. You are God in heaven, commandant of the universe, the captain of the host. And yet, you are our Father, our provider. Lord, we bless you tonight, Lord. I know, Father, that nothing that we can discuss tonight will adequately describe the measure of your glory, the might of my Savior, Jesus Christ, his majesty, his love, the depth of his compassion, the mysteries of the Godhead. Nothing, for no words yet created can describe essentially who you are. But by your Spirit, you are able to give us a glimpse, Father. You have called us out of the world and out of darkness, Father, to behold you, to be in your presence. Now we pray that we please you, O Father, today to strengthen our minds with the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ. That our hearts may be glad. Help us to recapture the essence of our faith. That we may rejoice in your goodness. That we may rejoice, Lord, in your compassion upon us. You, O Lord, brought us to faith. Now we pray that you encourage us. That tired hearts, Father, will be lifted up tonight. We pray, Father, that the abundance, grace, and compassion of Jesus will fall upon us. Be there any weary soul, any soldier that is tired tonight? Only you can. Sweet Spirit, please comfort us. Set our gaze upon eternity again. Help us to see the things that few people can see. To understand the things, Lord, that only a few have been given the privilege to understand. Reveal yourself to us, O Father. Bring to our remembrance everything that you have taught us. Father, we thank you. We just turn this entire meeting over to you. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
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 Brethren, tonight, we started with worship, and if you remember, Brother Aloja began to speak to us about the glory of God. He described, defined to us the meaning of glory. Wow. Brethren, this glory of the Lord, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, it has pleased him to share the glory with us. This glory has become our heritage. It's more than the glories of the kings of the earth. It's more than any kind of glory that we have ever seen before. It has become your inheritance because of our Savior Jesus Christ. Brother, I tell you a secret which you probably already know, so it's an open secret. That as we behold Jesus, our primary duty is not ministry. As we have come to know the Lord, our primary ministry is not service. Our primary duty is worship. As we behold the glory of Jesus, what it compels us to do is to worship our Savior. Those who know Jesus as they ought to, they worship him. There's no job we can do for Jesus that he cannot raise a stone to do for himself. There's no service that mankind can render to Jesus Christ that an angel cannot render better. But it has pleased him to reveal himself to us so that we can worship him. That's why the apostle in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beg you, the Old King James uses the fancy word, I beseech you, brethren. And I beseech you by the mercies of the Lord. Please render your bodies as a living sacrifice,
Just silence, yeah?
which is holy and acceptable to the Lord. And then he went on to say, this is our reasonable service. Reasonable service. And then those lucky men that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, about one of them, John, wrote something in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, and said, reconsider the times. The time has come, the time is now, when the true worshiper must worship the Father, and he must worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. Essentially, the context of that statement was the question, which please show us the correct location, the correct posture, the correct this. And no, it's no longer about location and posture. It's not whether it's in the temple or anywhere. The time is now, the time has come, says the Lord Jesus Christ, that the true worshiper, correct response as we reveal the glory of the Lord is worship, and the true worshiper must worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
This complete.
I pray that the Lord will reveal his glory to us. Actually, the more we know Jesus, the more we are compelled to worship. I dare to say, the true evidence, as I've been reading scriptures and studying the people that know the Lord, one thing that is undeniable is at the revelation of God, what it instills within them is worship. The nearer you are to Jesus, the less other things matter to you, and your understanding, your wisdom, your teaching, your miracles, your gifts, all of them seem to freeze. And what seems to emerge is worship. And those who know Jesus best will be learning from them tonight. Maybe we'll learn from them what it feels like to encounter Jesus the way he is. I dare to say those who know Jesus longest are those who have seen him at home, with the glory that he had with the Father before the earth begins. True Christianity is a worship of Jesus Christ. The finest saints are the saints who are compelled by their inner being to bow before him. That's why great saints don't modify his works. His works cannot be modified. This whole idea, this whole Christianity thing is not about you and I. We are just byproducts of God wanting to glorify his son. It's about Jesus Christ. You see, the more faith you have, the real response is not fear when you have faith. The real response is not seeking an explanation. I think it was Saint Augustine that says, I believe, I said, I believe so that I can understand. Faith before reason. The mysteries of faith at times never appeals to our reason. Oh, but you say, Brother Wale, the Lord did say, come, let's reason together. That is very true in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8. But the same Lord in scripture says in Romans 11, 34, that who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor? We cannot stand to reason with the Lord. The direct response when we hear the voice of the Lord is worship. May the Lord teach us to worship. True worship comes from the revelation of a person. I think it was Abra Lodja that alluded to what the response to a king or something will be in one of his messages this week. But I'm always intrigued. I was saying in church a few weeks ago, by when the president of America appears in any ceremony, they play a theme or a song called Hail to the Chief. Whether you like the president or you do not like the president, when you hear that song, something moves within you out of respect to the office of the presidency. I don't know whether we'll call that worship or not, but it compels military men to stand still. And patriots, it compels them to admire the heritage that they have in their fathers. I want to say, with all our getting of knowledge this past week, all of our getting of understanding this past week, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that our generation will learn to worship the Lord. This act of worship is what differentiates the old saints from us. They did not seek understanding first. By faith, they responded to the revelation of God as they heard it with worship. Let's tell a story. Matthew chapter 27. Please write the scriptures down. We may not have too much time to go through. Jesus had some business to discuss. That scripture does not tell us. Read the whole chapter. He picked three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. I call them PJJ. I took them to a private place, the mountaintop, to worship. No, maybe not to worship. For some reasons, he took them up there. And there the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was transfigured. He was transfigured. That means for a moment, he was changed from the form that PJJ were all familiar to seeing him in to another form entirely that was unfamiliar with them, to them rather. And this same Jesus that they were used to walking with, they were used to talking to, suddenly, his clothes became white as lightning, and from his face was like the bright sun. And what reaction? They fell down and they worshipped and they were amazed. When you see Jesus Christ in his original state, you are compelled to worship. And they went on and they said, "It is good for us to be here. We don't want to see you in the form before we climb the mountain. Just stay this way, Lord. We are no longer hungry. We no longer care about the fate of Israel. We no longer care about all of this. We just want to behold you. It is good for us to be here. Oh my goodness, the glory that you and I will behold at the revelation of Jesus, which by the way, you will partake in. You will forget everything, all the pain that you bring to this meeting, all the uncertainties, all the suffering, because it will be good to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. May the Lord teach us to worship. They did not want to leave. Jesus was so beautiful in the state that they saw Jesus. They did not want to leave. This is the Jesus, our brother, our Lord, our master, our God. The one who, according to Hebrews chapter 2, is not ashamed to call you and I brother. The revelation of our Lord Jesus. Brethren, you need to remind yourself all the time that you are not poor old Christians. You need to remind yourself that you are not just flesh and blood. You need to remind yourself that you have been given the highest clothing and we are the most lucky, most fortunate people in the world by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remind ourselves that we have a God who is worthy of honor, worthy of glory, worthy of adoration, even in spite of our current suffering. You see, the only thing that separates us from Jesus, that separates us from tremendous glory, is time. In a short while, we'll be together with him, says the Lord who does not lie. You see, in his humanity, we have always seen Jesus as Isaiah saw him, as a man without form or comeliness. A man in whom there was no beauty about him that we should desire him. A contemptible rabbi walking the streets of Jerusalem or the Decapolis. A despised man, rejected. Till today, our Lord Jesus Christ is still a despised man and rejected of men, except you and I. A man of sorrow, a man that was familiar with grief. That's the Jesus we know now. By those words, in every way, a man like you and I. Some of us sitting here feel deep sorrow, deep grief, rejected. Inadequate. And Jesus picked all of us deliberately as he has chosen to identify with us. We do not have a high priest, says the Bible, that is not touched, that is untouched by the feelings of our infirmities. Today, the world sees us in weakness. They see poor old us. They see the ugly, they see the beautiful. They see us as humans, just like they once saw Jesus. But one day we will appear in glory like Jesus Christ. This is the promise of God. The poor and the rich of us will be transformed. The Jesus that we see, the word the scripture revealed, first revealed in, as a poor baby born in the same place that donkeys were born. We see him as a savior. All this paradox. A savior that was on the foal of an ass. But those who lived with him and lived and saw him where he lived, where he lives, they have a different picture of him. And we see a glimpse of it. That brings us to our study for today. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I want us to share briefly Jesus in his glory. That book started, it opens with the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. I think the message puts it differently. It says, a revealing of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's like the Lord is saying, remember, at times I wonder why was the book of Revelation necessary? It was already finished in the Gospels, and the details were given in the epistles. But suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ came back with this revelation. Said, I want to show you some things, the things to be. I want you to see me as I am. I want one more thing. There's something I want to reveal to you so that you will not be tired. And so this book came to us. I'll just choose some select passages, still in chapter 1. Please write this down or just follow me. From verse 4, John, whom the Lord gave this message to give to the church, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. No longer a poor rabbi. Remind yourself, brethren, that this Lord Jesus that loves us so much is more powerful than any king of the earth. by faith. This is true. This is the Jesus that we approach. And then the part that always warms my heart as a reminder, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion, glory, glory to him, not unto us, not unto the most brilliant of us, not unto all the disciples you have made, not for all the disciples you have made, not for all the miracles you have performed, for everything in heaven and on earth, to Jesus our Savior be glory. I want you to be deliberate about cultivating the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dominion forever and ever. Then went on to say, behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eyes we see him, and even the eyes of those who pierced him. Let's go to chapter 4 real quick. Those who know Jesus, what do they see? I'll start reading from verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the voice, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up, and I will show you the things which must take place. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The one who sat on the throne was like jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like emerald. Around the throne were, the only time the Bible mentions these folks, at least that I know, if someone knows another mention, that's fine, 24 thrones. And on those thrones, there are 24 elders sitting. These elders were clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder and voice. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of the Lord. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, all of them full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third had the face of a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. There are mysteries when we get to heaven. People think we are going to be bored. People think that the only things we see, the Bible says that the things we see now are temporary things. You are going to see all kinds of creature, the original kind of what we have here when we get there. Verse 8, the four living creatures each have six wings. All the wings were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night. What are they shouting? They are worshiping. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Those who know God, who see God, are compelled to worship Him. Brethren, lifestyle of worship. As we reveal, as Jesus reveals himself to us, may we worship him. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Please don't let this scripture rule by you. These are 24 people more powerful than every president that has ever lived. 24 elders around the original throne. We have dummy thrones all around in the universe today. These guys own the original, the rule over territories unimaginable, greater than any emperor, any empire that ever existed. But when they are before the Lord, if they saw, for those who see the Lord as he is, as Isaiah saw him and he was dumbstruck, When they are before the Lord, they remove their personal magisterium. Their crown suddenly meant nothing to them. And they worship. Those of us that because of the clothes we are wearing, we can't worship. These majestic people cannot stand still. They worship. The more we know God, the evidence, I want you to make the measure of how much you are walking with the Lord, not theological accuracy alone. I want you to make it the measure, the degree to which your heart is compelled to worship Him. No one is too important to worship the Lord. These are the four preeminent rulers of all of heavens, the 24. They are compelled to throw their crown down and worship Jesus. Chapter 5. At the right hand of him who sat on the throne, there was a scroll written inside and on the back, and it was sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look at it. Then John said, "I wept, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. I wept." Brethren, who is worthy of worship? On that day, Abraham was there, because he said, "Even on earth and underneath the earth and in heaven." David was there. David was not worthy. Isaiah was there. Jeremiah was there. They were not worthy. Abraham was there. Abraham was not worthy. Your brother and my brother, your Lord and my Lord, the lover of our soul, the Savior, your Redeemer, your Forgiver, he was the one, the only one that was worthy. But it was so bad because John felt, remember, John was a disciple of Jesus. For surely there must be somebody worthy, and there was nothing, so he wept. The glory of Jesus compared to any minister, any pastor, any living being, any king, is like comparing a matchstick to the sun. Every geo in the universe was there on that day. They were not worthy to open that scroll, and John wept. Paul was not worthy. And he wept. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose his seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, he saw a lamb, as though he had been slain, having seven horns. In the ultimate revelation of Jesus Christ, he came. He chooses to be revealed in association with us. The Lamb, as though it was slain. Because it was slain for you and I. Jesus carries us even into glory in his heart. He carries you, Buki. You are not, none of us, we are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. You are no ordinary being. I pray in the name of Jesus, we will know how truly special our call is in Christ. We are not incidental beings. God has given gifts of knowledge to people, revelation, invention. See your calling. Not many rich, not many brilliant. But we have received the greatest gift of all. An inheritance with Jesus Christ, our Savior. He has prevailed to open. The Lamb, as though he had been slain, verse 6, chapter 5, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of the Lord, of God, sent out into all the earth. He came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Guess the only person that was able to approach him who sat on the throne was the Son. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, every creature in heaven fell down before the Lamb. Each of them had a harp, a golden and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. And what song did they sing? You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Worship. You know this blow blow gospel that we've had that people trample under and we give them tracts and it falls and they just put it in the trash contains the biggest promise on earth. That's why the Lord calls it like a seed that becomes the greatest tree in the forest. Your calling in Christ, brethren, don't play with it. They worship the Lord. Those who knew Jesus were compelled by what he had done to worship him. And I looked at verse 11, and I heard the voice of many angels. This is how your Jesus is treated where he comes from. Next time you stand up on your private place, you are worshiping. Remember who you are worshiping. You know, at times, I don't know when you were in, when we were in high school, you know, some people are so humble. It is when you visit them at home that you know that they are sons of millionaires. I don't know whether it has ever happened to you. Humble-looking people. Then you come back from holiday and your friend will say, "Oh, man, I visited. Oh, he lives in Victoria Island." And, you know, in those days, Victoria Island, oh, it's not the Victoria Island of today. And then suddenly there will be glory upon him. The same guy that he never used to ascribe glory to, suddenly he appears glorious. "Oh, I visited him. His name is from Ikoyi." And the same guy that you pass, he says, "Ah, hey, how are you?" becomes glorious. At times, until we visit Jesus where he comes from, you don't know how glorious the gift of God is. Some say we should call them bishop. Some say we cannot call their name without adding prophet. And the most glorious being is content to hear from our lips his name spoken with love, and we call him Jesus. So those who are in heaven with Jesus cannot stop worshiping him. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, verse 11, around the throne, the living creature and the elders. The number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, all of them. Remember, this is the revelation of Jesus which God gave to him. And he gave it to his servant, John, to give to us a glimpse of who this your loving Savior is. All of these people saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Do you think it is good for us to share this glory with him or ascribe it to ourselves? The more you know Jesus, the less you will consider yourself. That's why that wise man, John the Baptist, said he must increase. I must decrease. In fact, the sign of those who truly know Jesus is they think less of themselves. They do not value. Paul said, "I count everything as dung but to know Jesus. All my wisdom, oh my, Paul was smart. All my knowledge, all my ministry, all my deeds, all my accomplishments, I count everything as rubbish. I will gladly exchange it for the excellence of knowing Jesus, the power of his resurrection. And I would rather explore the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be made conformable to his death because I know I will share of the resurrection with him. All things but dung. Worthy is the Lamb." Next time you chew gums while singing to Jesus, remember where he comes from and how those who worship him. Worshiping. "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor, glory and power to him, be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Praise the Lord. This is the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, when we were young as Christians, by the power of innocence, God filled our hearts with the wonders of Jesus Christ. We did not know much scriptures back in the days, right? I remember when I first got born again, one of the embarrassing parts of attending service was that I really didn't know the songs. I really didn't know the scriptures. And people would be quoting scripture. I was wondering, wow, man, these guys are so smart, man. I wish I could. Oh, man, how did you know that? I remember I would go and meet them. How did you know that? How did you know that? But burning within our hearts was a revelation of Jesus Christ by faith. None of us came to Jesus because somehow, I hope, somehow we have come to agree that he is Lord. None of us can explain exactly what, in fact, if I asked any of us on this call, what was it that made you choose Jesus? You will attempt, you will tell me what happened, when, what passed. But the real secret of how this hard heart of ours came to know Jesus, we don't know it. I've often said, I wish I knew how I came to know Jesus so that I could just replicate it. I'd make evangelism very easy for me. If it has a method, I would like to use that method. But it was the revelation through the gospel. Before I even understood, I knew Jesus. It was after I knew Jesus that I started understanding him. That's why salvation is by faith. Salvation is by the grace of God. That's why we ought to pray more than we preach. We ought to pray because it's God that unlocks and reveals his Son to the heart of men. Brethren, 7:49, we're coming to a close. My submission tonight is, as Hebrews taught us yesterday, as we behold Jesus Christ, I pray that our hearts will be compelled to worship him. We don't need to understand him. We just need to know him for who he is and worship him. Worship is lost in the church today. Worship is not singing. When people say you do praise and you don't do praise and worship, you praise and you worship. Worship is compelled from within. You can give gratitude to someone. Thank you, Biola, for this meal. I appreciate it. But worship comes when the true nature of someone is revealed to you. Isaiah said in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What did it compel in him? Worship. Pray that your eyes will open, that you may know Jesus and you may worship him. The Christians I admire, they are not the Christians that know and preach and do. They are the Christians that just never want to leave the presence of the Lord. Brethren, God has not called you to do. He has called you to worship, to give your heart. He has called you as his exclusive property. As you follow and you know Jesus, may the revelation of Jesus Christ, may it incite worship within your soul. You see, those who follow Jesus never use statements like, I almost didn't follow Jesus again. Or when I see Jesus, I'm going to ask him why he. I mean, there are some rude statements in Christianity that you say you certainly can't. In fact, we can't say it about the president. In fact, I dare say, I mean, please don't quote me on this, but I'm going to say the more I know the nature of God, the more I say, let me just put it this way. The Yorubas got it. When they describe the Lord as Kabieosi, it means there's no questioning you. We need to know the Lord. We cannot treat the Lord like the idol worshippers treat the idol beside their house. The idol just sits there, just like some people want to park Jesus in church so that on Sunday we can pour oblation on him. And we think the louder we sing, we think because the choir is good, that means Jesus is impressed. Can you see the kind of choir that Jesus listens to every day? It takes more than singing to impress Jesus Christ. It takes worship. Worship is not just singing, it's rendering your body as a living sacrifice. Determining in your heart that this body will be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, is your reasonable act of service. Let's pray that worship will return to the church. You see, there's sobriety. That's why when I go to church at times and there's picture taking, you're taking pictures, I wonder. If the president was there, will you rather be taking pictures? You think they will let paparazzi inside to be taking pictures? You think protocol we accept that? We forget the presence of who? Do you think there'll be an opportunity for photographers in the passage in Revelation 5 that we just read? Say we want to document the moment. Those who know Jesus do not need to document the moment because Jesus lives in their heart. But those who just go to church, they need to, because when they leave church, Christ does not live with them. Sobriety. Worship. May the Lord help us to know him, to know Jesus. The more you know Jesus, the more you're sobered. When you read the Bible, don't cherry-pick what you want to hear. Please release yourself from all these doctrines. The knowledge that puffs up. Let your heart be determined that you have a God. Do you know what gods are meant for? Little gods, even little gods are meant to be worshipped. How about the Almighty God? Let your own Christianity be spiced with true worship. You don't go about God's business and you're chewing gums. You don't know who you have come to serve. There has to be sobriety. There has to be sobriety. Worship. Think about Jesus when you are doing Christian things. The Bible says whether we eat or drink, we must do all to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. We have about 6 minutes more. I'll open the floor for questions and comments. I pray that this little sharing, we inform our approach and reveal to us the Messiah. How special, how precious, how honorable, how majestic our Savior is. Let nobody convince us that our Jesus is not mighty, that is not worthy of worship. At times, I think the Muslims even do a better job of worshiping their false God than we Christians do. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Bless him. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's worship Jesus. True Christianity, the real response and sign of true faith. If you have truly believed, if you truly know the Lord, the first thing that will show you have known him is you'll be a worshiper. Praise God. I open the floor for any comments or questions.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want to bless God for what God has taught us through our brothers in the past 5 days. And as we wrap this up, some things are just coming to my mind. One, we've seen how glorious the Lord is. We've seen how important it is for him to be revealed. But as Brother Wally was, talking about his glory and the rest, it just occurred to me that we need to reproduce for him. What do I mean? Thank God for probably that is able to teach. Thank God for the structure we have that is able to support this. So that what are we doing to produce for him after him? What structure are we going to put in place after now? So that this knowledge will not stop with us. Some people read what we, I mean, wrote what we are reading. Somebody studied to teach. So I hope I'm not that I will not just be the end point where it stops, enjoying his glory, but not revealing the glory. So that's the first thing, that the Father is glorified when we produce fruit. And funnily, as you know, I was thinking about this, I remember the testimony Sister Bookish, you know, shared on Sunday, that was way that immediately she got married. The mother-in-law made a request, and it just occurred to me that immediately we gave our lives to Christ, that was a request the Father had on us. We must reproduce after him. It was, you know, an urgent thing, and we must intentionally, you know, work to achieve that. And thank God, there was a day I met Baba Tishe. He said, "Baba," I said, he said, "Mommy prayed and God did it." So I think we need to be more with Jesus, that Jesus will do it. So we have a testimony to show that actually we are his and we're able to reproduce after him. That's the first thing that crossed my mind. The second thing about the revelation of Jesus, reading John chapter 15, verse 25 to 27, and some other places, and also trying to study one of the reasons why Solomon failed, despite being taught by his father, having, you know, being given the grace to know or the understanding and wisdom by God, I discovered that fellowship, intentional fellowship, cannot be overstressed. Christ said, "Because you have been with me." So consciously putting up a structure having after now to increase our fellowship. A good example is consciously structuring the study of the Bible into our daily life. So we just want to know. And as we rub on that, the revelation of him will be clear to us, and they'll be able to reproduce after time. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Oluwa. We have 1 minute, but I just want to make one thing. Brethren, I assure you, the more you focus on uncovering and discovering the glory of the Lord, and you make your heart determined to worship Him, you will produce fruit. Let God be your singular focus. Before you act, seek Him. Know the Lord your God in your bedroom and in your heart. Fruitfulness He will give to you. The problem today is at times we are too focused on service and the things we want to accomplish. That's why some people are very fruitful outside, but inside, God says, "I do not know you." What is missing is worship. Learn to know the Jesus who has saved you. When your heart is filled, follow me, Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus will tell you where to serve and how to serve. Fruitfulness is a natural outworking of worship, of knowing the Lord your God. Spend more time to discover him. Let your light and your eyes be full of light, and the fruit will follow. Let us know the Lord our God, know how to serve him, know what his will is. Then he will call you to a ministry, and then he will prosper you in that ministry. If you put in a city two people who know their God, they will turn Ephesus upside down. I pray that the Lord will help us to discover him. Left to me, we ought to shut down activities in church today. Let us ministers go back to exploring our Lord Jesus. I wish at times that we knew him as innocently as we did when we were young Christians. Paul said there was a time when you could poke out your eyes for me. We will be fruitful if we know the Lord our God. We will be. I pray that as we go, we'll see the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ. And naturally, organically, that fruit will begin. I assure you, if you spend more time, more determination in your heart to know the Lord, to explore, to be built up by His Spirit, the natural product will be fruitfulness. May the Lord help us as we go. May the Lord strengthen us in ministry. Know the Lord. On that day, nobody will ask you, how many souls have you saved? I've not seen anywhere in scripture where the Bible says it will ask you, how many souls have you saved? I may be wrong. Please text me if you found one. All glory will be to Jesus. All that will matter on that day is whether Jesus knows you, whether you worship him or not. Whether you save one or you save 10,000 souls. Paul said, what I do by the grace of God. We can only do it by the grace of God if we take the time to personally know Jesus as he is. I cannot overstate that. Many times we've left the hard work and devotion to knowing the Lord our God. We've left it for the work of ministry. That work will take care of itself. Jesus was not in a hurry to start his ministry. He spent 33 years on earth. What was he doing for the first 30 years? Waiting on his father to say, go, obedient. And for 3 years, he did a work that no one could ever replicate. May the Lord help us to know him. May the Lord help us to know, to walk with Jesus. I pray that every believer we meet will be jealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I
Now,
think we are out of time.
there's
Oh,
a question.
how can we cultivate a daily lifestyle of worship in this busy, fast-paced age, despite our demanding schedule? And how can we draw ourselves back to God whenever we notice we've started to drift? Sister Tammy, Akinremi. Right. Okay. First, I'm going to assume that by worship, you don't mean the daily lifestyle of singing and all of that, because that's not what it is. That's not what worship is. The way we can do that is what Jesus told us in the book of John, chapter 15, to abide in him, it's John, and to let his word abide in us. Which is why the emphasis of today's message is Jesus. You see that simple gospel, my sister, that we've heard, the way we have received it. Abide in it. When we let the word of God abide in us, the Lord will be with us and we'll be able to increase in his word. Although our lifestyle may be busy, let's choose deliberately. We're going to have a choice to resist some things. Let's resist anything that will distract us from the knowledge of God. How can we draw ourselves back from God whenever we notice? Brother Olorua mentioned one of it. Fellowship is essential. Because we'll be able to exhort one another daily. Why today is called today? So that none of us will fall into the deceitfulness of sin. The apostle told us. Do not neglect fellowship. Good fellowship. Bible study. If you have spare time, you can choose what to do with your spare time. You can choose what will be your preoccupation. Let's cultivate a lifestyle that is spiritual, that is centered around Jesus, and we'll be fine. And then I'm going to throw one challenge to you. If your lifestyle is too busy, I mean, there are things, various, look for things that are not essential that you can take away from it. If your right eye will cause you to sin, what does Jesus say? Pluck it out. No price is too much to pay for you to always ensure that the peace of God abides in your heart. Just in a nutshell, and scriptures is replete with examples. We read Ephesians chapter 5 a day before yesterday with the things that we must do. But it's a choice. God is looking to us to make the right choices that we may continue to abide in Him. Praise the Lord. Sister Temi, I hope that answers your question. Is that Sister Tope? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I think we're about 7 minutes over. Brother Bumi, will you please round up for us?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto you, our God, just for the preciousness of the knowledge of Christ. Over these past 5 days, as we have looked into your word and learned together, thank you, Lord, for using your sons, Brother Aloja, Brother Wale, to minister your word, to teach us from your word. Thank you for preparing our hearts to sow the seed of your word. And we pray, Lord, that you also will be the one who would water this seed, that it will produce good fruits that you are pleased with. As we have heard tonight, Lord, it is those whom you know, those who will set themselves apart to seek your face. And that is what we pray that we will be. No matter how much we gain within this world, if the first thing of knowing Christ, knowing you, that is what your word said, knowing you intimately, if we lose it, we lose everything. No matter how much in this world we gain, if we have lost the knowledge of you, not in fleeting moments where we call upon your name in trouble, but in setting aside ourselves, setting aside time to seek your face, to dwell with you, to enjoy your presence, to read your word, to learn your words, for you to speak to our hearts. This is what we pray for. In these times that we are so caught up in work, legitimate things that will draw us away, Father, we pray that those spare times that we have help us to prioritize you into our time. Help us to schedule time with you, O Lord, to make you priority in our lives. Heavenly Father, as we also learned, the enemy will do anything to steal this away from us. But it's you that gives us the victory. So we also pray, Lord, whatever the enemy will steal of our knowledge of you, of our time with you, please reclaim it for us. Win this battle for us. For as we have seen, this is what is paramount. Father, we thank you once again. We pray that as we end this series, our knowledge of you, our desire for you will not end, but
Amen.
it will, it what this week has done will only be to have kindled a flame that only you can make a roaring fire within us. Let your the zeal of Christ consume us, O Lord. And we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Properly. Thank you. Over to you.
All right, we thank the Lord for these past few days. So, as we go forth, pray that our lives will truly be a life of true worship with the Lord. Let us share the grace as we close.
The grace of our
Grace
Lord,
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the
Love of
love of
God, and the
fellowship
spirit
of the Holy Spirit with us.
Rest and abide with us forevermore. Amen.
Goodness and
goodness and of us
for the days of
all the days of our lives. And we shall
dwell in the of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless and have a blessed weekend.
And you too. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Good
night.
Thanks for the invitation.